Maudie, on the other hand, had a very good idea of what was about to happen. And in her heart, she ached to rush out and explain the danger to the Octusi. She wanted to urge them to flee, or at least turn on their oppressors and go down fighting. And part of her wanted to take Till up on the roof to reveal their presence so the Mandalorians would know the entire galaxy was watching as they did whatever they had come to do. Instead, Maudie called,
"Shota, how long? I want to be live on the net when this thing blows."
"Blows, mistress?"
Shota asked.
"You think there's going to be a riot?"
"A riot or a massacre," she said. "Maybe both."
The back of the room fell quiet as Shota stopped work. When Maudie heard no indication of it resuming, she glanced back down the aisle. The Chev was standing idle and slump-shouldered, holding a power feed in one hand and a coupling socket in the other, his brutish Chev features sagging with dismay.
"Shota," she snapped, "we need to go live, now."
Shota merely cocked his head.
"So we can show a massacre live on the holonet?"
he asked.
Should we do something instead?"
"We are doing something, Shota," Maudie retorted. "Our jobs. And if you want to keep yours, get me that holonet link."
Shota knelt down and connected the power feed to the generating unit. But his movements were slow and languid, a silent form of protest that Maudie had learned to recognize among slaves and the grievously oppressed. She let out a long breath and, starting to feel like a despot herself, spoke in a gentler tone.
"Look, Shota," she said. "We're journalists, not Jedi. We don't involve ourselves in the story."
"Not even to save lives?" Shota asked.
It was Till who answered, in a voice devoid of sympathy.
"Not even to save lives."
His gaze remained fixed on the cam display.
"If we involve ourselves with the story, we change the story."
"And what is wrong with changing it?"
Shota demanded.
"What is wrong with saving the lives of innocent beings?"
"What's wrong is that if we try to interfere, the most likely thing to happen is that we get killed first."
Till's voice had grown hard.
"And then the galaxy will never know what happened here."
"We're not police, and we're not medicos,"
Maudie added.
"We're journalists, and our first duty is to report the facts."
"As you wish, mistress."
Shota depressed the power unit's activation safety and held it down, then slowly ran his gaze over the small control panel, searching for the priming switch that he had probably flicked 1,000 times since joining Maudie's crew.
"After the power unit is running, I'll have to find a good place for the antenna. We should have a link in 10 minutes or so."
10 minutes?
Till tore his eyes away from his display and started to set his vidcam aside.
"It's ridiculous, Shota. If I have to do this myself..."
"Till,"
Maudie interrupted,
"stay on the cam. Shota will handle the holonet link."
Till's brow rose, but he nodded and looked back to his cam.